From the heart of Nebraska's capital city, this is the Nebraska Family Alliance Report. Here's your host, Nate Groz.
Welcome to the program. I'm Nate Groz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. And today, we are honored to be joined by a special guest to talk about the upcoming 2024 election and the competing abortion ballot initiatives in Nebraska. Former Nebraska State Senator and Lieutenant Governor, current state auditor, and longtime pro-life champion Mike Foley joins us now. Auditor Foley, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Nate, for your work and for your kind introduction and invitation to join you this morning.
Well, we're honored to have you, and this is such an important conversation as we're at a critical juncture in our state and in our country. And you have been one of, if not the most, consistent, clear, and courageous voices for protecting life in Nebraska. You have seen and experienced a lot of elections and different laws and changes in our state, both as a voter and also as a candidate and a representative. As someone who cares so deeply about the direction of our state and really the values that we cherish in Nebraska, what are your thoughts heading into this election? Do things feel different?
You know, Nate, how many times you and I have heard the expression, this is the most important election of our lifetime. And we've heard that so many times. And they are all important. They're all very important. But this one really is different, Nate, and it's different in a very profound way. Nebraskans have never seen a ballot like the one that they'll be seeing on Election Day if they haven't already viewed it. There's something on our ballot that is beyond evil. It's just diabolical. And we're literally going to be voting on life or death. Other elections, you vote for particular candidates for particular policies and so forth. This time, we're voting for life or death. And the question will be put to every Nebraska voter, and we must choose life and defend the unborn and protect the moms and the families and so forth. And this is just a very, very historic election for the state of Nebraska, like nothing we've ever seen, because of the abortion initiatives that are pending before us, and we must choose life.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And so, as you mentioned, for the first time ever in the history of our state, abortion is directly on the ballot of every voter. And there are states around the country facing abortion ballot initiatives, but Nebraska uniquely is the only state to have two competing initiatives at the same time. We have Initiative 434 that would establish a floor of protection from abortion for women and children that reflects our current law, and it also protects our not only our existing pro-life laws, but it allows for greater protections to be passed going forward. And that stands in stark contrast to Initiative 439 that would establish a fundamental right to abortion, authorizing abortions in the second and third trimester and even up until birth. It would eliminate both all of our existing pro-life laws and our ability to pass better laws moving forward. So I believe that 434 is the most important tool that we have to help defeat 439. But a lot of people have had questions about Initiative 434. What is your take on both of these initiatives and how pro-life voters and really anyone who wants to protect women and babies should vote?
Well, very well said, Nate. And, you know, we have added kind of a layer of complexity to the question with the strategy that we're pursuing. But it's a very wise strategy. It's been very well thought out. A lot of smart people and people of deep faith and deep pro-life convictions have put together this strategy, and it gives us a really good chance to set the abortion industry back on its heels, because they've had a string of victories, as we know, in quite a number of other states. And now they've got their sights set on Nebraska. And we're coming right back at them with a very, very ingenious, I think, strategy to defeat the abortion industry. It's going to require two votes, not just one. It's critical that people understand you got to vote for 434 and against 439. And as you so aptly stated, 434 protects the protections we have built into our laws over 50 years of political and spiritual activism to fight for limited protections for unborn children. We have some things on the book that are good, and we want to protect that. all the good. But you've got to vote for 434 to protect the good work that's been done by a lot of wonderful people. And then you got to vote no or vote against 439 to defeat this diabolical proposal that's been put on our ballots, which would create a constitutional amendment to enshrine full abortion rights through all 9 months of pregnancy, full abortion rights if we vote for death on 439. So obviously we're going to vote against 439 and vote for 434, a two-vote strategy.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, as you mentioned, we have really 50 years of laws to protect women and babies and families that could be gone in an instant if 439 passes. We have also the opportunity to constitutionally protect those laws through Initiative 434 while we continue working to pass better and stronger laws. This is really about not losing ground while we fight to move forward. It's what can we do right now to save as many lives as we can while we continue working to see more lives cherished and protected. And that's what's so important to understand about Initiative 434 and what's at stake in this direct head-to-head battle with 439. Because we know that if two conflicting initiatives both pass, which is possible, it's the initiative that receives more votes that wins. And so, as you said, it's a two-vote strategy for 434 and against 439.
You're absolutely correct, Nate. And there is some confusion about 434. There is some misinformation floating around that would say if you pass 434, you're locking in the existing protections, but then you're done. And that's simply not true. 434 does two things. It enshrines the existing protections, but also keeps the door open to go back to the legislature and win additional protection, which we all want because we realize the protections we have in place today are not everything we would want. We've fought for more. We've not been successful to win, for example, the heartbeat bill or something like that. But the door is still open in the legislature if we pass 434. If we fail to do that, then the door is locked. You can't go back to the legislature unless you first enact another constitutional amendment, which is extraordinarily difficult to do. So we've got to get 434 on the books and have it receive so many votes that it would trump whatever votes 439 might get. And we've got to make sure we vote twice, vote for 434 and vote against 439.
That's important clarification. And now maybe the most important question is, with what's at stake with both of these initiatives and two very different directions that our state could go, we're feeling the weight and the gravity of the situation with what you talked about. I mean, literally life and death on the ballot. So what can people of faith, or maybe rather, what should people of faith be doing right now?
Nate, the good news is we have the upper hand here. If we are strong, as we're told in the book of Ephesians, if we're strong and put on the armor of God and humble ourselves in prayer and remember that we're not fighting against the powers of the world, we're fighting against the principalities. This is a spiritual battle. We're fighting against powers and principalities. And if we put on the armor of God, we will prevail. You know, I'm a big believer in the power, not only the power of prayer, but also the power of fasting. And I think that's what we've got to do here in these closing hours of this election cycle. If you go through the Bible search engine, you'll find various sites, and you can search for the word fasting in the Bible, and you'll find literally dozens of references in sacred scripture regarding the importance of fortifying our prayers with fasting. And abortion is Satan's prized sacrament. And he will do nothing. He will stop at nothing to advance the culture of evil and death. But despite his wicked delusions and his deceit, he is no match for the saving power of Jesus Christ. When we turn to Jesus in earnest prayer combined with fasting, the Gospel of Mark records the time that Jesus healed a man possessed by a demon. And that passage of scripture informs us that on witnessing this, Jesus' disciples took Jesus aside privately and asked him, "Why could we not cast out those demons?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." And I believe that's so true with respect to the demonic influence of abortion. And the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record the time when the Pharisees were challenging Jesus by noting and observing that his disciples were not obeying the certain ritual rules of fasting. Jesus responded to them by saying, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is still with them? Of course you can't." And then Jesus goes on to say, "The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." Well, Nate, we're living in those days right now as we face the most dire and extreme threat to human life that our state has ever faced. Nebraskans must now choose life over death. And I believe that fasting is so powerful, and God loves fasting because it's a demonstration of humility. And God loves humility. When we fast, we exhibit humility. So over the remaining days, I'm going to encourage people, skip a meal or two, turn off the television, turn off social media, cut out the snacks and the soda, maybe cut out coffee, whatever it is. You'll know best what's best for you, what you can do that's a legitimate and meaningful personal sacrifice. And give that to the Lord, and he will take that, and he will expand on it many, many times over, and he will lead us to victory.
Amen. I mean, this is so important. This is something we all can be doing that we need to be doing. As you said, this is not just a political battle. This is a spiritual battle. And as believers, the most important weapon that we have at our disposal is to pray and to fast. And we do encourage Nebraskans to join us in doing those things heading in to this election. And so Auditor Foley, my final question for you, regardless of what happens this election, what encouragement can you give to those who look out and are discouraged or even afraid of what's happening around us in our society and in our culture today?
I'd say be not afraid. God is in control. God is in his heaven. He's watching over us. And if we turn to him, as we're told so many times in the biblical teachings, we just turn to him with humility, with prayer, and also do our work, he will assist us in so many different ways, and he will lead us to victory.
Amen. Well, Auditor Foley, thank you again for being with us today. We appreciate your perspective, your experience, your call to action. And more importantly, thank you for everything you have done and are continuing to do to protect family, freedom, and life in the state of Nebraska.
And thank you, Nate, for everything that you do at the Nebraska Family Alliance. It's a wonderful organization, and we've worked side by side for so many years. So God bless you.
Thank you, Mike. And for more information on initiatives 434 and 439, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. This is our moment. Nebraska can be the state to turn the tide and show the entire nation that we can protect life. We can protect women and children and babies and families from the abortion industry. We can fight for a better path forward, for a better future, a future that values every single human life. Together we can, and with God's help, we will. And lastly, to access your free, personalized, issues-based voter guide to see where the candidates on your ballot stand on the issues that matter most, visit NebraskaVoterGuide.com. We'll be back next week with more updates, analysis, and information. Thanks for listening to the Nebraska Family Alliance Report.